Chapter 6, The Effects of Petty Corruption. Corruption is a crime. The definitions, whether complex or simple, all include petty corruption within their ambit. While it may be less difficult to bring the perpetrators of petty corruption to book than is the case with the royal game involved in grand corruption, the effect of petty corruption on the workings of government in modern states is profound. It's also troubling for the preservation of constitutionalism and the rule of law. Petty corruption usually involves lower-level members of the public administration or operatives in the state-owned enterprises. They see their jobs as the opportunity to exploit the members of the public, whether in their business or in their private capacity, by extracting a gratification or gain of the kind detailed in the previous chapter from them. The example of the traffic officer at the roadblock seeking his cool drink money is legendary. Clerks at departments of state whose task it is to deliver licenses, permits, passports, identity documents and the like seek remuneration for themselves over and above such official fees as may be payable by those seeking the official documents concerned. At border posts, customs and immigration officials notoriously show a preparedness to turn a blind eye to deficiencies in documentation if their palms are greased by the hapless traveller passing through the control point. Officials in courts are able, for a fee, to make court files or evidence in them disappear. Those in charge of appointing teachers and other civil servants have been known to sell available posts to the highest bidder. The litany of forms of petty corruption is endless and exasperating. New forms of malfeasance are constantly being invented in an exercise designed to circumvent the efforts of honest law enforcers. The societal harm done by the perpetuation of petty corruption is that it tends to make citizens cynical about the state, about democracy, and about all the fine-sounding words that go with the form of constitutionalism, at least theoretically in place, in countries racked with petty corruption. The democratic notion of government of the people, by the people, and for the people is undermined by the corrupt. The acceptance of a position of employment in the public sector or the election to public office in politics ought to be viewed as an opportunity to advance the interests of the public through loyal service to the people. Instead of espousing this ethos, the corrupt in government view their role as an opportunity for them, an opportunity in which their greed, self-enrichment, and the misappropriation of public funds and property are the order of the day, enhancing the patrimony of crony cabals replaces the notion of service to the people. The cronies try to amass as much as possible before they are caught or before the next election. The electorate is often disgusted by the petty corruption which it is required to endure. Fewer and fewer voters go to the polls at election time. In South Africa in 2016, those who did not vote outnumbered the total of votes gleaned by the governing alliance in national politics. While there may be many reasons for the low turnout, the fact that voters are grumpy or disaffected is demonstrated by the increasing number of service delivery protests that are mounted, some of them violent and destructive of public property like schools, libraries, trains, and other official buildings. While the direct cost of petty corruption is impossible to measure, its effect on the fabric of society is negative. One way of encouraging an end to the culture of petty corruption is to encourage a zero-tolerance approach. Record the corrupt activity, blow the whistle, and engage with the authorities to put a stop to it. This is the task of every active and participative citizen who values freedom and the enjoyment of human rights. This should mean everyone, but sadly does not. The second strategy is to get those who work in the public service and in state-owned enterprises to sign a pledge that reminds them of the rules of the game according to which they should work. What follows is a pledge based on the rules of the game of public administration in South Africa. It is possible to adapt the pledge to suit the circumstances in any constitutional democracy. We call it the pledge by the members of the public administration and state-owned enterprises of South Africa. In it, the sections of the Constitution are referred to with the prefix C. We, the public administration staff of the Republic of South Africa, including employees of state-owned enterprises, proudly pledge to the nation and to all who inhabit and visit our republic that, 1. We will promote and maintain the highest standards of professionalism and ethics in all we do in our official capacity, with Ubuntu and Bartopele as our ever-present watchwords. Ubuntu means people are people through other people, and Bartopele means people first. C-195, read with policy and the spirit of the Constitution. 2. We will strive without end for the most efficient, economical, and effective use of resources, including human resources, in our places of work. C-195. 3. We will at all times remain development-oriented in our work in the public administration. Also, C-195. 4. We will act impartially, fairly, equitably, and without bias in our provision of services to the people of South Africa, forever showing responsiveness to their needs as communicated to us through the public participation processes in place. C-195, read with C-33. 5. We will act accountably by always explaining our actions reasonably and by justifying our decisions properly. C-195 and C-1. 6. We will, within the limits of the law, provide the public with timely, accessible, and accurate information in the interest of transparency in all we do. C-195 read with C-1 and C-32. 7. We will cultivate good human resource management and career development practices so that human potential is maximized on the basis that the public administration remains broadly representative of the South African people. C-195. 8. We will respect, protect, promote, and fulfill the rights guaranteed to all in the Bill of Rights. C-7, subsection 2. 9. We will at all times uphold the foundational values of the Republic as they apply to human dignity, equality, and freedom, the advancement of non-racialism and non-sexism, the supremacy of the Constitution and the rule of law, responsiveness to people's needs, and openness in the public administration. C-1. 10. We will, in our loyal execution of the lawful policies of the government of the day, be forever vigilant to ensure that we act in a manner consistent with the Constitution, its values, tenets, and principles. C-197, read with C-2. We will, in particular, procure goods and services in accordance with a system that is fair, equitable, competitive, transparent, and cost-effective, C-217, and perform our obligations diligently and without delay, C-237. In offering this pledge, we affirm our belief that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, united in our diversity. We further affirm that we are working ceaselessly to build our multi-party, democratic and open society in accordance with the rule of law, so as to reflect the resolve of the nation to live in peace and harmony, to be free from fear and want, and to seek a better life, thus earning its rightful place for South Africa in the family of nations. Preamble to the Constitution, read with sections 1 and 198. If every official upon entering public service was required to sign the pledge, a signed copy could be kept on file by the human resources personnel of the state for use in the event of the signatory breaching, infringing, or violating the provisions of the pledge. In this way, not only is the public service made aware of the need to comply with the Constitution, the public, alive to the existence of the pledge, also has a tool to use to ensure that those officials who paint outside the lines are brought to book.